Hello and welcome to another Touchline Fracker podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and as the Premier League kicked off last week, and with just 2 weeks left of the transfer window, this week we will discuss whether the transfer window should be scrapped or any alterations should be made to it. Before we get into the thick of things, let's introduce this week's guests. First up is a guest who is voted as the third most popular on the Touchline Fracker's favourite guest poll. It's Mario. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Good.
Fix.
Next up is Elijah, who hasn't been on the pod for a few weeks, but he's been doing some great articles for us, so we thank him for that. How you doing, Elijah?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Fantastic. Aaron is our third guest, who is making his debut tonight. He was on the Chaotic podcast last week, but he'll be making his debut on tonight's podcast. How you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. We have Io, who I haven't done an intro for because he just decided to turn up on the night. So you all know Io. Boo. Hello, Io. And last but not least is the man who is top of the polls, is Leroy.
How you doing, guys?
Fix!
Leroy, how does it feel to be top of the polls? I mean, like, you're king of the world. Just explain the feeling.
Boy, it feels good, man. Mariah on that, but yeah, thanks guys for voting for me.
I think Mariah's been buying votes because he went from like 3 votes to 35 votes overnight.
I'm trying to look at the website now. I can't even get on it.
Oh yeah,
you went, right, I can't even get on it. I've never even looked at it before. Bro, you were just going on different computers in your fucking laptop.
I'm in the library.
Let me book myself 75 times.
Yeah, I saw Libra. I said, nah, man, I need some girl. I'll just do it myself, man.
I think PSG just got someone sent off, by the way.
Oi, did you see Wolfsburg's goal? Wait,
yes.
Anyway. Well, let's get into the actual podcast itself.
Edit this bit out, yeah?
No, we'll keep it in. We'll keep it realistic.
Bro, should edit me saying edit it out.
I should edit the part of editing you saying editing.
Edit it out, yeah.
Okay, I'll edit that part and I'll edit this part as well.
Cheers.
All right, so guys, Wenger has previously called for the transfer window to be scrapped, mainly talking about the January transfer window. He believes that it's not fair for clubs to have the opportunity to strengthen midway through the season, and it puts a financial strain on clubs lower down the league. I mean, Io, I know you're against it. You're the one who came up with the idea of this topic. I know you're against the ideas of transfer windows. Could you explain why?
I just don't see a reason why people should be limited in, like, obviously players should be limited in moving, and clubs be limited in moving players in and out. Like, it's just restriction of mobility. So I'm not too sure what the main reason is that FIFA have put in. I haven't researched it like that, I'm not gonna lie to you. And I just think, yeah, and I think also, It will also stop, like, so obviously I'm sure certain transfer fees probably get driven up and all driven down because of proximity to the window and things like that. And also just like antics on players to think, okay, I need to be out by this window, let me start doing this. I don't know, I think you'll cut a lot of the silly season. I think it's kind of a bit of a silly season transfer window period. So I don't know, I don't really see why me as a club can't be able to, in the middle of, I don't know, December or the middle of November, okay, I want to go buy a new player and he's available and I can't get him. I don't see why.
Okay, fair enough. So does anyone have an opinion opposing IOs as to why the transfer? So maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I do, because, like, I think if you have the ability to buy anyone at any point, it's like, okay, everyone's going to get on to me about money, and that's Rise Daniels on the podcast because he's got on to me. But in terms of, like, the teams with unlimited money or the sugar daddy teams like City and Chelsea, like, that just gives them even more power to sort of control how the season's going with money, basically. And I think it's biased towards the top clubs because if you're Chelsea in that and you're very, very close to the title, and you could just go and buy, like, a £50 million player at will, like, and I don't think you should be able to do that. I think you should have your team, and you should stick with your team. So you can't, you can't just bail yourself out of money. I think if you're mid-season and you're struggling, you want. I think it's an easy way out. You're just bailing your way out with money. You're not actually using your tactics, using your nous, using your intelligence as like a team or whatever, or as a coach. So I just think it's basically it's a cop out. It's an easy way out.
But is a player acquisition part of being a manager?
Yeah, it is. But there's no window to do that in.
That's the whole deal.
I agree with Leroy because basically you've got your chance to see how shrewd you are as a team or as a business to get your deals done. You shouldn't need a whole season to do it. I don't agree as well, man. Two windows are fine. You've got your summer window, which is about, 2-3 months long. And you see the teams like Chelsea, who've got their deals done early and moved the players they wanted to move. And then you see the teams like, unfortunately, Manchester United, who struggled. And, you know, you shouldn't have an extra window to get it done in. I agree with that.
I'll tell you guys a question, yeah? Why? You said about a club like a super club like Chelsea or something could just randomly want to pick up a player for £50 million if they're struggling. You're saying that as if just because there's a transfer window or not, why would that change a club's decision to sell because of the transfer window or not?
I don't think they will. I disagree with Leroy in that point. I don't think. Let's say we're in February. And a club has a player that everybody wants to buy. Let's say last season, everyone was trying to buy, I don't know, Diego Costa from Atletico Madrid. Do you really think they would have sold him? No. So the type of player Leroy is talking about, I don't think we'd see 50 million players moving in the middle of the window. In the middle of a season.
I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm saying, why is that a problem? It's going
to
happen.
It is a problem because at the end of the day, like, you've had your transfer window to organise your team and to be shrewd, whatever. So, right, okay, so what you've planned did not come off. Like, if you're Chelsea, it didn't come off and it's now March. It's now March and you say, oh, I want Diego Costa because that's going to fire me to the title last minute. That's, again, for our money. Yeah? But the thing is, you say they wouldn't sell him, right? But if they offered 120 million, which Chelsea and City could do, like, they would sell him for 120 million at that point.
Can I speak on something quickly, yeah, about that Diego Costa thing when we're talking about how everyone wanted him in March? If, like Leroy said, a team like Chelsea comes in and wants to buy him, even if they don't sell him, if Costa wants to go at that point, he's just going to disrupt him. He's going to pretty much ruin Atletico Madrid's season. And it's just going to cause disruption between the whole squad. So I think it's just like, it'll be another way. Even if like Chelsea were playing Atletico in the Champions League and they did that, it's just like, it's unnecessary, I think.
Yeah, having two set windows where you can buy players gives stability. Like, it gives just stability to everything. So, after January's shut, everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone knows what they've got to work with. And it's stable until summer again. It's not all up in the air. It's just like Aaron said.
I agree with that. I just don't think we'd see big players moving that often.
But, City and that have unlimited money, buck.
Chelsea don't have their money, really. I don't think they do.
I don't think they have
their money like that. Abramovich is not a shake, like. He's the business man. He doesn't want to be making operating profits, operating losses. It's not like City where Manchester City are kind of like an advertisement tool for
Abu Dhabi.
I'm giving an example in it because obviously they used to be like that, but now they're just trying to rein in. Now they've established.
No. They did that before because it was basically like with Chelsea, it's kind of like a new business, and the new business is going to have a higher cost. He's still trying to catch up. So it was like an investment now. Now they're one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're trying to be a lot more shrewd.
It wasn't a specific club. It was just an example of a principle. Principle which I'm using.
Okay.
Yeah, like, again, speaking on that,
you're really complaining about Man City, right? Because I think they're the only team that can just go out and do that.
PSG
or Monaco.
Madrid. You lot are probably forgetting that about FFP, right?
Yeah.
Seems to be stopping PSG in purchasing Angel Di Maria by what we've seen. Like, with Real Madrid, it's different because they make the revenues so they can spend. And even still, if you want to read reports, they still have to maybe get rid of Angel Di Maria to be able to fund a move for Rodimar Falcao. So, like, I think with FFP, I don't think the super spending will continue for a long period of time. And also, we always talk about our... you could just buy this player, but you'll forget that these clubs are getting compensated for these players. And when I say it's open, this is even for teams that are in relegation battle, they need some help, they can maybe go and get like a signing that can help them. So I think it can help everybody because at the end of the day, transfers, player transfers is still a trade. You'll see. People, both parties benefit.
That's true, but it's a get out of jail free card, man. Why
is it a get out of jail free card?
Because it's like saying, all right, for example, like I have £50 in my poker game left over, and like I'm about to run out of my £50 because I played rubbish, and then I'm just putting more money in. Now you have a buy-in, and then that's it. You're out. Like that's it, because you weren't smart enough, or you didn't use it smart enough. So like it just makes money more important in football, and I don't think we need that any more than it is already.
Sorry to cut in, Leroy. Great points made. If I was to say to you that that not having having a transfer window in like January, it puts a lot of financial risks towards relegation fighting clubs. So, for example, this season, what we may see is QPR struggling, and what will happen is in order to bail themselves out, they may just go and splash, say, 50 grand on 50 million on players, like we saw when they tried it with Christopher Samba and offered him, say, 150 grand a week. Doesn't that put unnecessary financial constraints under teams like QPR? Because when they go down, they have to face the consequences.
I don't see why it's a problem, because that's their own fault. Like, they have...
No, but because the option is there, doesn't the league have the... Doesn't have the league have duty of care to...
I don't think that's a good enough excuse, because QPR only have responsibility for QPR and their stakeholders, which will be the board of directors, whoever has shares in the club, if they have limited shares or not. I'm not too sure about QPR structure, the players, staff, and the fans. So they have to do the best interest. They have to operate in the best interest. So if that is, which they did before, spend loads of money, then go down, then that is what they have to deal with. But that's not fair.
As a governing body, I think they have a duty of care. So I'm talking about the FA, the Premier League. They have a duty of care to protect the fans. Yeah.
Okay.
So
what's the difference between QPR spending 50 million in January, then get relegated? Now QPR spent $50 million in the summer transfer window, then get relegated.
But you got to remember, they probably already spent the money in the summer as well. So this is in addition to.
Lewis, they did that under the current regime. Like that's how they ended up messing themselves up. So are you telling me that you're against it or?
Nah, but the thing is, at the end of the day,
if you're a team that's a bad business, you're just a bad business.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Pressure will make a shotgun approach at these things. So, like, at the end of the day, if you have no option there to do anything, fair enough. But the thing is, when these teams are actually in relegation under pressure, they will do dumbness to try and survive.
Exactly. So because they see it as the only option. They can't...
You'll see more instances of dumb spending in that situation if they were relegation struggling and the window was open a couple of months before than you would with just a window in January.
And we would also see inflated prices.
I think the January window makes it even worse because you have a restricted time, a month basically, to sort everything out, where it's just like, okay, try and get these players in. Well, if you had a window that was open the whole season through, it's a bit more nuanced. You can take your time with your decision.
You're speaking on a...
Yeah, so in terms of a financial point of view, as Leroy said, it is a shotgun approach. Teams will take the risk, and that's not fair on the fans, because then if these owners decide to then... say, do you know what, I've had enough of this, we're going to get out, the fans are left in limbo with their team in League 1, League 2, and under in serious financial difficulty.
So it's all well and good if they spend the money and succeed, but if...
I'm not saying that it's all well and good, opinion.
I'm talking from fans, but I think fans are very fickle with this, like, because they will wish for their clubs to have more money and be able to buy the best players they possibly can. But if it's got to a point where, you know, they spent money, it didn't work out, and they go down, he's taking money out of the fans' pocket. No, I don't see why your moral standpoint should be determined on the actual end result.
They did buy the players in the first place to try and improve things on the pitch. And as we know, all as football fans, quality players can come in and still not do well for some reason or another. The January window is awful, in my opinion. Teams go in there and they rush and they make decisions which they haven't thought through clearly, just because they want to get somebody in, just to appease fans.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, but that will happen right before the end of the season, even more. Like, if you were struggling.
No.
But that's happening. simply because it's open. I think people stayed true to their form. So Crystal Palace, QPR messed up in January, and they'd mess up regardless. And the teams that do well would do well regardless, and that's just how it is, to be honest with you.
Because speaking on a squad point of view, yeah, like I know you guys are speaking on like club point of view, like saying, oh, this is bad for the fans. But if you look at it on like a the players in your club, if you're looking at a window that is open until the season starts, and there's games being played, and there's a January window when there's games being played. Imagine a window that's open the whole season, and the amount of pressure that's going to put on players, like thinking, well, if I don't perform, then I'm going to be like, you know, they're just going to buy someone else to my position. And it's not always a good thing, because it's not being too careful with their play.
I don't buy that, because we're all grown up here, everyone's got a profession. If you don't perform your profession, you get moved. That's how life works. Like, well, why should it be different for footballers? Like,
okay, yeah, but then what happens if that player is just going through a bad patch of form? And there's a really like shotgun approach. If you never think about it, if you're going to do a bad patch of form, and then he comes good at the end of the season because there's faith in him. Like,
football's a competitive environment.
I know it's a competitive environment, but you have to understand that pressure's not always a good thing, because it starts making players make decisions that are too calm and too careful.
Nah, that's life.
That's life. You actually can't avoid that.
I think the constant fear of pressure of someone replacing you is not always a good thing.
Nah, they chose this man.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Football's competition.
Everything's a man, I can deal with that.
If you can't do that, then you don't deserve to be at the club you're at. That's just how it is. You can't deal with somebody, then you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, clearly, obviously, you're not at that level. If you're fearing for your job, do you think? Forget. Let me not even say like a top player, but do you feel somebody like, I don't know, Kieran Gibbs, like, do you think he fears for his job? No, you go out there and you do it, man. Simple as, man.
I mean, about that, but it's not about, like, it's not like they're going to get cut. I'm just saying, thinking about players who are worrying for their position because they're going to be on a bench. You never know. Like, I think it's better if you have a set amount. I know it's life, yeah, no, understandable, but if you're looking at the point you're saying about how it's, you get it right and you have your squad and you need to deal with that squad. Like you said, again, it's a cop-out for the managers, and two, it just makes players unnecessary pressure on players.
I don't think it's a cop-out. I think it's a massive cop-out.
I think it's a cop-out. That's a
massive cop-out. End of the day, like...
Have your window to go on, Leroy.
Yeah, no, you. Like you said, you have your window to go and spend your money. And the thing is, after that, and after it's closed, it's down to you, your coaching, and your tactics, and everything that's what football's about. Which we don't want it just to be about money. It makes it. I mean, we've got a massive, massive imbalance between the teams that have money and the teams that don't anyway. And, like, we need to not make it as about money. So we need to take that away as much as possible and make it about the purest form, which is football, coaching, and, like, just being clever, being smart, like, being like, all that kind of stuff, being shrewd. Yeah. If you just open the window, they can throw money at it. At their problems.
The money thing in football, It's not stemmed from transfers. It's really stemmed from Sky. It's just the money coming to the game from advertising sponsorship.
But I'm just saying, like,
I think transfers get too much of a stick blame. People forget that. Okay, you say, oh, these big clubs will come take our players. They still get compensated.
It's not about that. What I'm saying is, it's in March now. The window's closed, so you have to turn it around. How are you going to do it? If you have the option to spend money, you can just throw money at it. But my point is,
you talk like there's no negative from that. There is a negative because you're partaking of money and it might not work.
It might not work. But what I'm saying is, you shouldn't have the option. It should be about the purest.
I know.
No, because then that's what I'm saying. We're trying to at least make it as level a playing field as possible, but we're making a bigger gap between the haves and the haves.
It should be more about changing your tactics and changing your formation, changing the personnel on your team and your squad. Because if that was the case, then I could just go on FIFA and be a manager. And I could be a manager in normal. Like, it's not hard. Like, but you could have really low level managers coming up to Premier League and still doing well, in my opinion.
Because we've seen that with Manchester United, where one manager...
Are you trying to say David Moyes is a FIFA manager? That's unfair, that is.
No, he's not saying that, Lewis.
No, but seriously, I think people are overestimating... I think, obviously, transfers and spending power makes a big difference. But, like, I think you lot tend to over-exaggerate. Look at Manchester City. Manchester City have done extremely well from where they were, fair, but still, the grand scheme against other teams that still look, then you've got the team like Atletico Madrid.
Okay. If all right. So you say you've got City and Chelsea.
Teams like Porto, Monaco have been to Champions League final.
Okay. Yeah, but that's fine. That's fine. Like,
say you got a team like Chelsea and Man City situation last season. Chelsea then going by Fabregas and Costa. Like,
why? Why would Barcelona sell Fabregas then?
No, because he was playing well, they wanted to, if they offer the odds, and think, okay, this is a great deal, we'll just sell him now.
Get rid of him.
And the thing is, that's not the point. The point I'm illustrating is, again, it's another, like, what am I saying? It's a principle, like, so if they manage to acquire Costa and Fabregas in March, they win the league. And that's just throwing money at it. That's nonsense. Like, in March, what's the point?
I agree. We did do a whole pod on how we rate managers. And to be honest, it's obviously a big deal. We banter about managers all the time. So just being able to throw money at your problems isn't good management, in my opinion.
When has throwing money, like, in January ever worked? Chelsea did it with Fernando Torres.
Just bad decisions. But there are examples of it working.
Where did Chelsea end up in the season?
Okay, but there are examples of it working. It's not just about throwing money. But Ayo, it's not just about the £50 million.
Was your target fourth that season? So yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
We were mid-table in January.
Really? I
can't
remember.
Do you not have Nasri, Fabregas, and Van Persie?
Fabregas was injured.
No, Wenger doesn't normally move in January unless he's got serious injury problems, as we saw from the world class acquisition of Kim Kallstrom.
Nah, we were struggling as a team, and he just had to do something.
I like it how it is, man. The only thing we were talking before about maybe ended a transfer window before the season starts.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that because I don't think you should be able to go through.
I don't agree with that as well. Because what do you mean? What do you mean before season? Before preseason or after? Pre-season?
No. After preseason, but before the first game of the season. So it should have finished. Yeah, last Friday it should have finished.
I think. Where is it?
Let Elijah speak. One sec. Let Elijah go on.
Personally, I think domestically there should be transfers where basically at the end of the season, straight after the last game of the season, where you could buy players domestically, and then before the season starts, that's when you can start buying players domestically, and then the international transfer just should just stay the same.
So into that, okay.
Because personally, I don't think that, like, just like you've seen it with Long and Southampton, while like the way they're moving now, like Hull trying to buy Rhodes, and now there's going to be this big merry-go-round in the leagues and stuff like that. It's going to be loads of money splash. So I think domestic transfer should end a day before the season starts.
I agree with that.
But don't you think that actually, like, okay, not being a bit, like, if you look at the FA, that hinders sort of English players because the domestic transfers, that's all your English players are going to come in domestic transfers. So you want at least, so that makes it more likely to buy a foreign player. So if you're late in the transfer window, you don't get sorted, you can't buy an English player, but you can then buy a foreign player, but you want English players in the thing.
No, because I'm saying that the domestic transfer should start the day after the season ends, which is how it is now, but it's just that. And so it's shut up day after the season end. With international transfers, it starts on like June, in the middle of June.
But Leroy, I mean, surely that would encourage managers to get their business done fast. I mean,
I don't want to see any discrepancy between being able to sign English players and being able to sign international players.
What about the players? Like, why should you? Okay, you're in an occupation, yeah? Because football is sort of occupation. Yes, it's a sport, competitive, it's not occupation. So say, for example, I don't know, let me find out who's been unhappy.
Like, for example, let me give you an example.
Say Di Maria, yeah? Or, I don't know, who's been a bench warmer? Who's just been that? Let's say Lamella or Welbeck, they're on the bench, yeah? And they really just want to move. Like, they're not happy whatsoever. But they're gonna have to wait until the end of the winter.
But football's competitive. You just said that 5 minutes ago.
You just said that, innit? So
football. Yeah,
football. Man up.
No, but it's not man up. Yeah, this is a basic human right. I want to leave when I want to. Like, why should I?
Why should you? You're under contract.
You've got a contract. You've signed a contract.
Don't sign the contract then.
It's a legal agreement saying that you're going to be training and you're going to be there, and it's your work.
Yeah, no, but yes, but also your work can release you. So if the club wants to sell you, and you want to.
No, but the club can't sell you then.
If they release them, they're free agents. I thought free agents can sign at any time. Is it?
Yeah, they can. They can. No, no, it's up into like March or something, isn't it?
Yeah. So something like Lamela, yeah. He's saying he's at Spurs, yeah. Manager doesn't like him. He's like Spurs. He don't like the country. Blah blah blah. And then I don't know. There's maybe Dortmund. They want to grab him as well. Spurs want to sell him. Dortmund want to buy him. Lamela wants to move, but he's gonna have to wait until to summer to move.
That's a fact of life, bro.
That's what happens, man. That's
what happens in everything.
You take a gamble on a player, you pay 30 million for him. If it don't work out, it happens. It's life, man. Not like you said.
Yeah, you can't have everything your way like that. Like.
And I'm just getting fairly
compensated. So there's a prima donna enough, man. Like crying about contracts and stuff. You sign a contract.
Firms cannot end a contract or move an asset when they want to. It has to be a certain time. Why?
Because that's how it works.
They were fine with signing the contract when they were getting 100k a week plus, but now they're not fine with it because they want to move. Like, it don't work like that.
What do you mean? So, because someone gets money, they should now be happy by force.
Yeah, that's but so, alright.
It's not about that, but I'm saying they were fine with. They read the contract, they read the contract.
I think.
They were fine with it then, so why are they not fine with it now? I don't get it.
I think what you would see.
Don't be dumb, bro. Like,
I know situations change, but that's the whole point of.
Sorry. What I would think you would see in terms of like unhappy players is if you say, for example, they completely got rid of the January window and the window closed the day of the season. What you would see is clubs would be much smarter with who their squads are, yeah, because they won't want to carry an unhappy player. They don't want to pay a player who's unhappy for the whole of the season. So I think you would see that squad sizes.
All it takes is one action. And that could switch somebody's mood about the whole environment. Just one action, man.
Okay, yeah, but that's football. That's football. But what I'm saying is...
Instead of
stockpiling players...
Lewis, let's be serious. Oh, my God, equalised. Oh, he missed! Anyway, no. Okay. Sorry, this guy's over goal. Now, listen, okay. Say you're at work, yeah? And then there's a situation at work, yeah, that you didn't like, yeah? If you didn't like it, you could leave.
Some places you have to work 3 months' notice before you can leave.
I
just think sometimes you're just going to have to stick it out, man.
That's one of the things you have to do. Yeah, some places, some companies...
Footballers are so spoiled.
You have to say, I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm leaving. You work 3 months' notice, and then you leave.
You can resign indefinitely.
Yeah, you can resign indefinitely, but like, if they want you to work your notice, you work your notice.
And especially if it's like a gross misconduct or something, because you can get shipped at the same time.
Yeah, but then if it's like something like a gross misconduct, like a Suarez or something, then you get banned.
What happened to Suarez, bruv? He got suspended for 8 games, came back and started banging in goals, bruv. And now he's allowed to play. That's just bollocks, bruv.
Yeah, like, but what I'm saying is, like, at the end of the day, like, people can't just leave instantly. If you work your notice, and then you leave.
Yeah, but, 2 weeks or a month's notice?
It's different in every field. Like, you can leave in the next window, which is 6 months away, or 4 months away, or 3 months away, or 2 months away, and that's it. Like, it's different in every field. Some places you have to work 1 week, 2 weeks, some with 4 weeks. Right. Some you have to give, like, 2 months, 3 months.
That's a corner of a job where you're getting 200k a month, man.
I think you're right, man.
I don't feel sorry for them in that.
Imagine how peed off you'd be if you did pre-season. You based all your preparations around your one key player, yeah? So, and then your chairman decides to sell that player on deadline day. How pissed off as a manager would you be?
Absolutely fuming.
That's life. That's football.
No, but that's not football.
I
just don't agree with that principle in football. That it takes away the skill side of things because you've done.
That's so much about money in football. It takes away the skill side of things. I think. Signing the right player and still integrate into a team is also still a skill.
No, of course it is, but I'm saying that a manager.
You know how long Roman Giro Brasfort, the way this plays for how long? Chelsea have come sixth, third, and how much money have they spent?
I'm not just talking about the amount money people spend.
They're still spending, no matter what.
I'm just saying that I just don't think it allows a manager to do his job to the best of his ability.
No, 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 Is it the manager's choice to have to sign a player or not?
I'm talking about the selling club.
Are you silent? Is it not true?
No, I completely agree with Lewis, though. Like, I think in terms of once the season starts, I think the window should be shut. You should have one window in between, and I only think that window, like, the purpose of it is emergency. So say if I've got 7 injured players, I need to be able to sort of.
What kind of legal stipulations could you put into that, though, Leroy? Because then you'd hear people making up injuries and stuff like that.
Of course, you get people messing with it, man. Definitely.
Yeah, no. But that's what I'm saying. Like the window should be a free window, like it is now. But the reason it's there is mainly emergencies. Like, it should be a free window. You can buy whatever you want. You can buy if you're messing about. But that's the reason I think that you can't get rid of it. Because, like, if a team has, like, 9 injuries or something...
So, you still think people should be able to buy players?
Pardon? Yeah, you should be able to buy anyone.
So then how does... No,
that's a cop-out. That is also...
But that's still a cop-out then, Leroy.
It is a cop-out.
I think maybe then...
It's a necessary evil.
I think you should only be able to sign loan players or something.
No, but the thing is, if you're Manchester United, you are not going to get free loan players of the quality that you need to compete. You're not going to go and get Di Maria on loan, Khedira on loan. You're not going to get, like, top-level players.
But you probably won't get them in a January transfer anyway, because they'll be cup-tied with Champions League.
You think Chelsea will get Matic on loan? Never.
I don't think they will. But I don't think they will, and I don't think they should.
But that's a mess, because, like, if you've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players injured or whatever, you should be able to, like, you shouldn't really, like, that's an emergency situation.
But would you buy Matic because of an emergency? You wouldn't buy Matic because of an emergency. You would buy Matic because he's a world-class player.
Okay, for example, if Arsenal in January, and Arteta broke his leg in January, he's out 6 months, we'd go and buy a top DM, because we'll keep him anyway.
That's because of one injury.
Yeah.
You're talking about in terms of 8 injuries.
Okay, if we've got, our whole spine injured, if we had...
But then Wenger proved this season that he wouldn't do it. He would just go and sign King Kalshanum on loan.
That's Wenger, isn't he? He's a special dude, bro.
Go on, Elijah.
In France, they have this thing called the Joker transfer window, where basically, in between September and December, you can sign one player within the domestic system. You can sign one player from any club, and that's it.
I think that's good.
So is that still current in France?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a nice idea. A wild card. Like, you have a wild card sign.
Yeah.
You can use once at any point.
That's pretty good.
Mm.
That's a good idea.
Mm. That's fair what enough. They have in France, so
I
think that'll be good.
I think we all agree that this, like, the alternatives that we're suggesting or what we may want or what we may like are probably never going to happen, because the money that Sky make from transfer windows alone, or the money even media outlets make from transfer windows and transfer deadline day, is almost becoming like the NFL draft and the NBA draft system. That deadline day is that big now that I know you would still get deadline day if it was like before the season or whatnot, but the way that it's built up now in terms of transfer windows where you're getting 2 of them, I just don't think it would be in the league's interest or in the media company's interest to scrap it. So, whilst we can talk about it, I don't think anything will ever change. I think we'll be stuck with this system.
I think they need to make... You know, it's a 25-man squad now. I think they'd need to bolster it to about 30 to make it...
To make it fairer.
If there was no transfer window the whole year
smaller.
Round.
Why smaller?
They need to make the squad smaller, because...
What, if there was no transfer window, Elijah?
Huh?
If there was no transfer
window. If there was no transfer window, then...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, not in general. Talk about if there was no transfer window. Just to kind of compensate, because, like Leroy said, like, if you're like Arsenal, there's going to be a time when, like, 5, 6 first-teamers are all out at the same time. They need to boost the size of the squad a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Apparently, Di Maria's been confirmed.
Really? For what club? Manchester United?
That's what they're saying on Marca Radio.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Why is it always Marca Radio and not Marca, like, website or anything? I don't...
It's a Real Madrid-based news station.
€75 million, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I'm not happy. Oh, man. Okay.
75 million euros.
Let's not pretend you Man United fans actually care about money, man.
Oh my god,
how did he miss that?
I don't know. Wolfsburg is shit.
United got to do what they got to do, man. Like, I rate that. Just go out and do it. Just go out and do it.
No, that's
60 minutes. Nah, they're screwed, innit? Like, they need to pull themselves out of it. Like,
this is a joke. Arsenal would do that
sometimes. I wish Arsenal would do that sometimes, man. I wish we'd go the extra mile sometimes and just see, like, you know what? Screw it. Like, let's just go and ball out. Let's go and pay for a player and who's going to complete our team and let's go and win the league.
The thing with paying 75 million for Di Maria is, yeah, I had this thing about, like, paying big money for players who are not scoring me goals and winning me games consistently. I think, like,
Di Maria won in the Champions League final, bruv.
No, it's fair enough, that's sick, yeah. Di Maria, he's a baller and I love the guy. But what I'm saying is just like, if someone spends like 75 million on like, or euros on Suarez, I get it, man, because the guy's banging goals consistently. Di Maria will influence the game, like, kind of a bit passively sometimes.
He's a match winner, but I think for me, when it comes to strikers,
there's a reason for me why strikers get paid the most money and the most money gets paid for strikers.
Of course,
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Like, and I fair enough, my ad, I'm just going extra mile, and I respect that because sometimes you just slap it down and be like, listen, man, take it, and we need the player, but it's just big money. I'm just thinking should go for the guys who are banging in goals.
Yeah, we've got strikers.
You've got strikers, bruv.
I'm not saying for mine. I just mean, like, in general, like, the way I see big money going for players or for strikers.
So who have you seen that recently that you think is too much money? Because, I mean, 30, 40 million for a top midfielder, I haven't got a problem with that.
50 million for David Luiz is a joke.
At the end of the day, like, it's what someone's worth to you, innit? Because if I was Arsenal, and I had a banging front line, okay, I don't, but if I had a banging front line, banging midfield, and all that was needed to complete my team is one amazing centre-back, there's one amazing centre-back available, and I have to pay 50 million for him, and that's worth completing my team, and I'm going to win everything, I'll pay 50 million for that centre-back.
Is there a lot of a difference between an amazing centre-back and a good centre-back, in your opinion?
Nah, but it doesn't matter, because that is what I need to complete my team, so that's what it's worth to me. That 50 million is worth to me to win the league. So,
Great strikers who score a lot of goals are few and far between. You know what I mean?
David Luiz is worth 50 million to one team and 20 million to another team.
Understandable. But the thing I'm saying about that is, I know it's a bit off topic, but I'm saying a striker for me, there's a huge gulf in quality between a good striker and a great striker, whereas there's a smaller gulf in quality between a great centre back and a good centre back. In my opinion, that's why you pay the most money for a forward to pay the most money for a centre back, in my opinion.
It's a harder thing to do in football, but to score goals, yeah, fine. But my point is, at the end of the day, you can't say to someone else that what this is worth to you, because at the end of the day, everyone has a different worth for everything. Everyone has a different value to everything.
And that is why Wenger don't sign, you know, players a lot, to be honest.
I'm happy Wenger because he don't sign scrubs. Like, that's when he's gambling, obviously, fair enough. But if he doesn't rate a player, he's not going to sign a flavour of the month.
He doesn't sign the flavour of the month guys that when everyone was pressing him to sign, like, Thierry and Ashley Williams.
We've got scrubs like Giroud and Sonogo, so I can't really shut the
We got Sonogo on a free, mate. Should be happy.
Sonogo on a free scrubs.
Should be happy, mate.
I paid to not have him, to be honest.
Robin.
I can't believe Robin just missed that. His touch to bring it down was fantastic, man. Oh.
Give me the BT Sport password if I want to watch this.
Just invest, man. Subscription. Alright.
I need to call someone for uni.
Guys, does anyone have any other points they want to add before we move away from the transfer window?
I just want to quickly say about just an example of why the transfer window is a bad thing, like, if you end up during the season, is because there was a thing with Pardew last season. You know, when Arsenal bid for Kabay, he bid like, what, 12 million or something like that. And then Kabay, so happily, he declared himself unfit for the first game of the season, I think it was. It's just disruptive to the team's plans, and I think it's unfair on managers, in my opinion.
Of course, but if the window was open, do you think he would have actually, if the window was open the whole season, do you think he would have actually done that?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. 100%. If this was the middle of the season, Shannon would have thrown a strop anyway, like, tweeted all that nonsense and said, I'm not playing and all this. Players throw strops, they're prima donnas, like, they're like lighties, man.
They're not intelligent. Footballers are not intelligent. Like, we need to understand that. They're not smart people. Like,
no, that's harsh. That is harsh.
Yeah, they're not, bro. They're
I mean,
not,
we got Joey Barton.
They're not the upper elite of, you know, intelligence in professions compared to other people. And they deal with situations poorly. They deal with situations poorly, bro. And they act like children. Like, goodbye, act like a child. You know what I mean? You got Schneider, he's acting a bit like a child. He's acting better, but he's still acting like a child going on Twitter and like tweeting and stuff. It's just, you don't need to do that. That's why I think they'll do it regardless of whether or not it's at the start of the season, the middle of the season,
that's why we can't really compare football to other jobs, because in another job, if you want to leave, you can leave. While in football, if you want to leave and your employer doesn't want you to go, you kind of have to stay there, so, you know.
Like, I felt really sorry for Alan Pardew last season.
Why? He's a prick.
No, fine, he might be a prick. Because they lost Kabai. They lost Kabai. And it's like... But you can't just replace a player like Kabai halfway through the season. It wasn't exactly Alan Pardew's choice to sell... I know whether you like Alan Pardew or not, you've got to feel some kind of sympathy towards him. Like, he's lost his best player in January when they may have had a chance to qualify for the Europa League. And they lost him for no decision of his own, and you got to feel some sort of sympathy towards him, in my opinion.
What you just say about Balotelli to Liverpool is 12.8 million.
What?
It's 12.8 million.
Yeah. It's 60 million euros.
Jeez. That's definitely worth the risk.
Yeah. Are you joking?
Why has no one else gone for him, though? Why has no one else gone for him?
And we signed Giroud for 12 million. No, go on a free, bruh.
No, there's something wrong there, man.
That is banter.
Why has no one else gone for him? Why is, like, even someone like Juventus...
Where else is he going to go, Lewis?
I don't know. Like,
who else is going to go in for Chelsea,
on? Well, why not Chelsea?
They've got Diego Costa.
No, they
don't get along. So, that's the first one.
Who don't what?
Man United have got strikers. Next one. City, he's already been at City. They ain't gonna go. Arsenal, we don't want him. Next. Right, cool. Where else is he going to go?
Spurs. Well, you're telling me no one out there wants a striker like Balotelli for £12 million?
No.
But you might want to come to England, because he's been there before. He likes the Premier League, you know.
Remember, it has to be a club that can pay his wages as well.
Exactly, because remember, he's asking for mad wages.
Can Liverpool pay his wages?
Yeah, they can. Liverpool pay dumb wages. They pay Suarez 220 bags, bruv.
Yeah, but they only paid him 220 bags for 6 months.
Yeah, I know, but they paid him 220 bags end off.
Yeah, I know, but...
They still have those wages free, so...
They have a lot of money, man. Like, they Liverpool pay better than us in terms of top end.
Hmm.
When they're spending like 20 million on Stuart Downing and 35 million Andy Carroll, you know they've got money to burn. Like, it's not a thing to them.
Andy Carroll's on 130 bags a week, bruv, when he signed back in the day.
Yeah.
I wonder
why Wenger hasn't gone for him. Why did you say Mourinho didn't go for Balotelli?
Because they don't like him. He can't control him, bruv. Like, he even said, like, I can't control Mario Balotelli.
Alright, well then, if Mourinho can't control him, then...
It might be a different style of management that could work for him. Because, like, that's what I'm saying, Wenger is a complete opposite style of... Yeah, no, the disciplinarian thing don't work, like, so why not try the other approach?
I wonder, but why do you think Wenger doesn't fancy him?
Because he's a maverick, and he's just a maverick, isn't
he? But so was Anelka, so I don't...
No, but Anelka wasn't when he bought him, though.
Like, Anelka was a bit... Balotelli will go and shoot people and stuff like that, like, it's not even like a little thing, man, it's crazy. But then, to be fair, he went for Suarez, so, boy.
Yeah. That's
Suarez's quality just outweighs the fact that he's crazy.
Yeah, and he might not... And Lewis, he might just not rate him that highly.
Yeah, no, that's true. Listen, I agree with that. I'm just trying to wonder...
I definitely don't think that Balotelli suits the way Arsenal play or Liverpool, to be honest.
I think
the way he slows down play is crazy.
I don't even think that Brendan rates him as high as other strikers, because obviously he is, like, what, fifth, sixth choice, as far as we know?
I definitely think it's last option for him.
The issue with him...
To get a big name,
I think, is more... He can disrupt the whole team, literally. By himself.
So why do AC Milan want to get rid of him? Are they in financial difficulty or?
Yeah.
That and his attitude as well, man. His attitude stinks, man.
Who Milan got now? Like, I think Shaari's back from injury, isn't he? So last season he was injured for a while, so maybe that's.
I thought
he still scored a lot of goals.
But I thought Balotelli was getting on fine at Milan. I didn't think he was having any problems at Milan. Or is that incorrect?
Italy is just a racist country when it comes to football. I think he just didn't like that.
Nah, he already knew that. He had problems when he went back there, like towards the last season. His first season went well. Remember, he scored quite a lot of goals for them.
All penalties, I might add.
Well, they were goals.
He's got a banger, man.
He's got one banger and then 10 penalties.
Hey, listen, mate, goals are goals, mate.
No, they're not goals.
Alright, don't say that because Giroud scores quite a few goals, man.
Giroud don't even take penalties, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Because he just misses them against Coventry.
But that's the thing with the whole goal ratio thing, because if Giroud took penalties and he'd scored 4 or 5 penalties a season, that would take his goal ratio up to what you guys were saying, 1 in 2 is decent. But then
do you know what?
But the issue with Giroud is not his how prolific he is, because he's a decent...
No, I'm just saying in terms of the goal ratio thing.
In terms
it's
of
like...
how good he is. He's going to let you down in so many matches.
Atletico Madrid just went 1-0 up.
Jeez, already.
So I've got a question from Team to Die For, and he asks, do you think Raheem Sterling is capable of scoring 20 plus goals this season?
Yeah,
in all cups. Yeah,
because he's playing up front, so
his knack for a goal is improving a lot. He's getting in the right positions. Even he saw against Southampton, he's doing very well, I think.
He's fast, he's intelligent, and he's playing in 2 up front in a diamond. So, yeah, he can.
Okay, I've got a question from @RealLloyd. Who are the three... Because I think I asked this question earlier on the pod, I think that's why he's asking. Who are the three players with the most ability in the world? I think you answered me already, Aaron, but...
I shall just go for one quickly.
Yeah, go on.
I think Messi, number one, clear. Iniesta, number two. And I'm going to say Modric, man. Like, I love that guy. I think he's ridiculous.
Okay.
What's the question?
Three players in the world with the most... We're just talking ability.
Oh, gosh. Van Persie, Messi, and...
Okay.
Probably Iniesta.
Are we talking natural ability or just having ability? It doesn't matter if it's acquired or natural.
Ability, as in how they play, yeah.
So right, okay, so then mine are Messi, Ronaldo, and Iniesta.
Okay.
I only chose...
And Ronaldo's got ability.
Ronaldo's got crazy ability.
I didn't know. It's hard. It's better what definition.
I kind of wanted to just give a different answer, to be honest.
If it's natural,
can we take Messi and Ronaldo out of it?
Okay.
You can if you want. Yeah, sure.
Alright, Iniesta, Modric, Fabregas.
Fabregas, I saw Fabregas in a lot of my lists, you know.
He is so sick.
He's got so much. Five. He's got so much ability.
Top 5. It's ridiculous, like the stuff he does. He does it, and he makes it look so easy. But it's other players kind of a dream, bro. Doing the stuff he does, man.
Top 5, I don't know, man.
What about Neymar?
Yeah,
Neymar's
techie.
Neymar,
Van Persie, Iniesta.
Van Persie is a good one. Van Persie is just ridiculous.
Yeah, Van Persie's nuts, man.
Do you think Ibrahimovic?
Who's got more ability, Van Persie or Ibra?
I think Van Persie.
Van Persie.
Are we talking just natural or acquired?
Natural ability.
I think Ibrahimovic does stuff that you can't, like, you're just like, how, brother? Why do you even think of that?
But so does Van Persie.
I know, but Ibrahim, you see that goal he's got in training? Like, what the hell, bro? How does your mind work that quick? I don't get how his mind works that quickly, like, to even think about doing that. It's mad.
I'm going Ibrahimovic for natural ability, boy. Because
I think after, you know what, I'm going to change my answer to Ibrahimovic probably, because I just think it's ridiculous.
I think Van Persie does have a lot of natural ability, but a lot of it he worked at it too.
But Percy's just immaculate technically, he's got a lot of technical ability.
I saw some video of Dennis Bergkamp in training the other day, Oh my gosh. Like the other day in present.
He was playing the other day.
Yeah, he was in training the other day doing some coaching for Ajax. And
technique never leaves you, man.
The technique on this volley that he did, yeah. Oh,
see, you know when Laudrup was manager for Swansea, and they were asking a player, they were thinking of him.
He's still the best player, even now.
If you look at Bergkamp, for me, like, I know I was young when he was like at his prime, but even watching like former games of him and stuff, like, he is probably the most technically gifted player in the Premier League, in my opinion, ever. Like, he's just ridiculous. Some of the stuff he used to do with the ball, that's just, I can't imagine anyone else doing that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's probably I still think that Van Persie is kind of pips him, but
Oh, no, you know what, Lewis?
No, Lewis, I agree with Lewis because I've said this a lot and I've got a lot of stick for it. But I think Van Persie is so underrated in actually what he is in the whole footballing sense. I think he's one of the... he's a genius of our generation.
He
and he's underrated for that.
He is.
It's a shame for him that he's been injured for so long, because if he was fit consistently, he'd probably be...
It's a shame for him that he's a punt.
It would be no debate.
Henry is still going to be clear up there. Like, but Van Persie, if he was consistently performing, I think he would have got close to Shearer's goal record. The guy scored 70-something goals in two seasons. Like,
semantic, buff. But the thing is that Henry's overall round though better than everyone. Just saying that.
Guys, do we have? I agree, Leroy. Do we have any other questions?
Van Persie ain't even got pace, bro. He ain't got pace, and he just.
Guys, do we have any more questions before we wrap things up and we can get back to watching what's the game? The Madrid derby.
After the Bayern game.
If you had to sign one player for your club right now, who would you sign?
Oh, Christ. Javi Martínez. Oh, what if they're fit?
But available.
No, if you could sign one player for your club right
now. If they're injured.
If you could sign one player for your club right now, who would you sign?
Yeah, Messi, but I'm saying...
Messi. Messi, bro. That's it, Messi.
Nah, come on,
but I'm saying, in their current state.
I asked if it was realistic or if it.
Nah, do you know what? Mine will probably be.
Mine's Martinez.
Okay, interesting. Who would you take? Aaron. Well, you could say Messi, but I wanted to be somebody who's a bit more like, okay.
Yeah, but Messi could come Arsenal if he wanted to.
No, he wouldn't.
Falcao and Marco Rouse.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd sign Modric. Transform
my
midfield, but yeah, that's what
I've
got.
So
Okay. I've got one last question then before we wrap it up. Well, this one's more aimed at. Well, but Murray, you could answer it as well.
Thanks.
Do you see Joel Campbell getting a chance at Arsenal?
No, I don't. He's a piece of shit. I'm joking. not a lot of chances. Not as many as he deserves, but yeah, I see him getting a 10-20.
Nah, Arsene Wenger, like, he says he gives a lot of players a chance. Like, he only gives players a chance that he's got that trust with. For some reason, I feel like he don't trust Joel.
Should he trust him? That's a better question.
But now the thing is, I understand why, because defensively, he needs a lot of work. Because even in the preseason games, I saw him like, and I think defensively, you could get ripped to pieces. You could be a big downfall.
That's because he's got like the stamina of a 10-year-old.
Yeah, basically, exactly, man. Come on, man. But yeah, he does. That's true. But I feel like Wenger doesn't trust him, and players Wenger don't trust. They don't get a fair shot. Like, they'll get like a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, and they'll do one thing bad, and that's it. They're not going back in for like 10 games, and then they'll do it again, and they're not going back in for like 15 games. So I don't see him getting a fair crack.
Because he's lost that trust with Podolski, hasn't he?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, Podolski, you could never say Podolski's got a fair whack, like, since.
But you know, he's got a good whack from him, though, man, to be honest.
Nah, but he hasn't got a fair shot, though. Like,
I don't blame Wenger, man. I was watching Podolski at Cologne as well, and I can see why, man.
But that's what I'm saying. If Wenger has it in his head, he don't trust a player. Like, he doesn't play in that one. So I don't see Joel Campbell getting a fair shot.
So what do you reckon then?
I think he'll get a shot because of the fact his attitude. Like, from what I can see, his attitude is right. Like, he wants to succeed and he wants to be at Arsenal. So I think if Wenger, I agree with Leroy. Like, I don't think he trusts him right now, because I think if he did, he would have played maybe even a little bit in the first two games. But I think he'll do all right. I think he'll be all right.
Okay, I've got another one. Who is your prediction for young player and player of the year this season?
Cesc Fabregas, player of the year.
Yeah.
Callum Chambers.
I'm for Cesc Fabregas. We're going to be watching the Cesc Fabregas show every week, man. But
No, we won't, because I'm going to turn it off.
Before that Burnley match, I was gonna at the Arsenal account. Are you tuning into the Fabregas show tonight? But I completely forgot to. Then he tore it up, so now I don't want to do it anymore. Because it's like, you're only doing it because
you beg.
I'm probably gonna go for Sterling.
I think it's pretty set in stone. It's gonna be Sterling, to be honest.
I agree with you guys, man. Fabregas started. Can't even.
Yeah.
Yes or no go for player of the year for me.
Oh, please.
bumbling idiot.
In Italy, they do like worst.
Yeah.
Or there's an award in Europe, like worst player in Europe. I think that's what
He will never get such an award.
Adriano got it, mate. So boy, never ever. Really
Do you know when Sanogo scored that goal against the Benfica, the first one, when Ramsey did all the work and then he went and started dancing? Ramsey was just like, "You're a prick, bro." Yeah, in his face, bro. Ramsey didn't even celebrate with him. He's like, "You're a prick, bro."
Right, but Aaron, I'm onto you. You don't answer my WhatsApp, isn't it? So I'm onto you. You don't answer my WhatsApp when I agree. You said Sanogo's better than Giroud, bro. You said Sanogo's better than Giroud.
I was hacked.
What were you on? What were you smoking?
Here was my thinking behind it, yeah? And I think even you would agree with this.
No, listen.
At one point, I hated Giroud so much, bro, and I still do, kind of. Two, I think Sanogo is a lot better against the teams where we need to stretch the game and we need to bully defenders. And I think he should play against Everton, in my opinion, because I think he'll do that.
I agree, Aaron.
Better against Man City than Giroud would have played against Man City. But when it comes to playing teams who are going to sit like Palace did, Giroud is essential because he has the ability. Because he's a good footballer, in my opinion. I just don't think he's a great.
He's not a bad footballer at all.
I think he's a good footballer. I've always said it. I've always said he's got good tech. He's got good things about him. I think against teams like Palace, where you can get the little, fire into his feet, let him play it back to someone, play a wall pass to someone, he can do it. But, you know, it's different. I think that Giroud's a better footballer, but when it comes to a certain amount of games, no good. But then I don't think, as a football club of Arsenal stature, we should have a striker who can't play against
Can't play football.
Not even Sanogo not playing football. Forget that. I'm talking about Giroud having the thing where we're like, but maybe playing against different teams. We shouldn't have. We're Arsenal Football Club, bro. Our striker should bang against any and every team.
Giroud actually has a good technical base. It just under pressure, it just evaporates. I don't know where.
Yeah, and that's the problem I have with Jordan Henderson as well. That's why I don't rate Jordan Henderson. I think he's got a decent ability, but when it comes to under pressure, if you look at Jordan Henderson, if you look at Jordan Henderson in training, right? If you watch his training videos, because I always see them,
because Liverpool.
He's always winning these kick-off competitions.
I'm feeling sick, bro.
Under pressure, bro. You know I don't rate Jordan Henderson. You know I don't rate him. You know I've never rated him. But when it comes to under, it's because I don't rate players who are not good under pressure, bro. And I think that pressure is so essential in football, especially at the top level.
All right, guys, we'll leave it there.
I mean, yes, so much, bro. The guy, he's ridiculous.
We'll leave it there, guys. finally, we've got a pod that's less than an hour long. That is wow. I think we all deserve a pat on the back for that. I just want to give a shout out to Daniel, who goes by the name of Swagador. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Daniel, mate.
Happy birthday,
bruh. Yeah, happy birthday, mate. We'll see you back on the pod hopefully next week.
Hopefully you're wasted.
My birthday tomorrow, actually, funnily enough.
Mariah, it's your birthday tomorrow. Wow, God. We're doing so many shout outs for birthdays. It's amazing.
Okay, guys, vote for me, yeah? Yeah.
give Mariah a birthday vote so we can get up there.
Lewis, add me to the poll, man, please.
Yeah, well, you've been on the pod for two occasions now, so I can add you on there, so you can start voting for yourself.
I'm going to get one of the Asian beanies that follow me to support.
Yeah, you need to get Asian Twitter to start voting for you. All right, guys. So we'll see you next week. So see you later. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!